Welcome to the Hooked on Fantasy Podcast with your host, Luke Sawhook.
And Hutchison Brown. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Hooked on Fantasy. I'm your host, Hutchison Brown, along with your co-host, Luke Sawhook. We have a jam-packed show today. We're talking about Rashee Rice, we're talking about Stephon Diggs, and the breaking news going around those two players. And then we're going to continue our NFL draft preview and talk about our top favorite running backs in this class, along with a sleeper or two that we might like. Luke, are we ready to jump right into it? We got a big show today. Let's get ready.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. Like you mentioned at the top here, two pretty big stories revolving, well, for very different reasons, right?
Yes.
Opening with Rashee Rice. Rice's situation is really weird. I'm sure everyone listening out there has heard of what's happened. Essentially, there was this whole weird car accident incident with some minor injuries. Rice was kind of speeding down a highway in a Lamborghini that I guess was in his name. He kind of walked off from the scene of the crash with some of his friends. I'm not super informed on the situation because it's been super gray area. It doesn't seem like he's going to get in significant legal trouble from what I've seen so far. It appears that he is, according to a statement he put out today as of Wednesday, April 3rd, that he's fully coordinating and cooperating with local police enforcement. I'm personally, you know, obviously a shitty situation. I'll say that. But I personally am not too worried about Rice's fantasy football value. You know, like, listen, we're a fantasy football podcast here. I'm going to give you takes based on fantasy football value. I think Rashee Rice's value will be fine, especially long-term. Again, not a great situation to be in, right? We don't love this for our guys. We don't love this for anyone who got involved in the accident. It's a bad situation all around. But from a strictly fantasy football perspective, strictly a fantasy football value perspective, I don't think this is going to move his value one way or another. I think this is fine. I think if you're playing in dynasty leagues right now, I wouldn't be going out and sending trade offers for him because the legal situation is still up in the air. But I'm definitely not panic selling here at all. I would hold on tight to Rashee Rice shares, and I feel like he'll be fine long term. Hutch, do you agree, or do you have a bit of a different take?
I mean, I do agree that I would try to hold, but here's the thing, though. Because this similar thing with happened with Henry Ruggs a couple years ago where we heard, oh, it's a car crash, you know, this crazy car crash happened. And then a couple days later, we learned, oh, he killed somebody. It was a massive, massive deal.
I feel like that was really different. I'm not going to hold you.
That was very different. Oh, totally different. Totally different situation. And based on what we know, no one has died. But there have been a couple injuries. We know that. And the thing is, I'm just saying that we just got to remember that this could go really bad really quickly. Like, we don't know everything. We don't know all the news yet. We don't know the implications of everything. This could get bad really fast. Car crashes are very dramatic. Yeah. Things happen. Crazy things go crazy. And we just don't know what's going on. So if you get an offer of Rashee Rice where it's like, I'm getting some pretty good value back here, I wouldn't be afraid of taking that shot of getting off of Rashee Rice if you can. Because we could wake up tomorrow, 8-game suspension. Like, we could wake up tomorrow, I mean, that's realistic. Or one season suspension, gone. We could wake up and that's the reality.
It's too much. I honestly feel like if nothing crazy comes out about it, we're looking at max 3 games so far. Max. I understand what you're saying. Like, yeah, it definitely could, digress quickly, devolve quickly here, and things can get out of control and kind of spiral. Hopefully that's not the case, but I do agree it's a situation to keep your eye on. But as of now, yeah. I think I'm holding Rice.
I would try to hold Rice.
Talk about the exciting news now.
Yeah, let's get to the exciting news. Let's do it.
Stephon Diggs is a Houston Texan. Very, very interesting move by the Bills. I feel like this has to be the whole, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire thing with the relationship between him and the organization, him and Josh Allen, whatever you want to call it. Diggs clearly wasn't happy in Buffalo, or else I don't think they would have traded him. You know, this is their star receiver, right? He's getting up there in age. They're paying him a lot of money. I don't think from a strictly, hey, team building, financial aspect, it makes sense for him to trade Stephon Diggs away. But listen, for the Houston Texans, this is a great trade. For fantasy football purposes, I don't love it. I think it definitely hurts Nico Collins and Tank Dell. It is not great for Stephon Diggs' value either. It's really great for C.J. Stroud's value. I think he gets a huge bump up here. Those weapons are fantastic in Houston. He's going to do great things next year. I think the Texans are a legit contender in the AFC this season. But, again, for fantasy football value, I think Nico, Tank, and Stephon Diggs don't have top 10 value anymore. I think they all have really high floors, but I don't really see the ceilings there, or maybe top 10 is possible, but top 5, top 6, I don't really see that ceiling being there anymore for any of these three guys at all, where I feel like it used to be a possibility. I think it's really fun for real life football. For fantasy, it's not great news, but it is really good news for two players, and that's going to be CJ Stroud and Dalton Kincaid. And I'll also sprinkle in a little bit of James Cook. I feel like it's really interesting to see right now what the Bills are going to do with the wide receiver position. I think we could see them trade for a T. Higgins, trade for maybe a Brandon Ayuk if he's really on the trade market. But right now, I mean, Curtis Samuel, Dalton Kincaid, James Cook profile for huge target shares for Buffalo. But the real thing is the winner is going to be whoever they draft to pick 28 or trade up for, right? I mean, this guy's going to get a ton of targets for Buffalo. But overall, super fun trade in terms of just the real-life, day-to-day NFL news. Diggs is a star player. He's been so special for such a long time with Josh Allen. He and CJ Stroud alongside Nico and Tank are going to do a lot of fun things. Again, I think that they're all three of them are going to be fantasy, you know, reliable. They're going to be relevant. They're going to be valuable. But how high is the ceiling? I don't really know. It's going to be interesting to see who's the wide receiver one on a week-to-week basis. It might be a lot more even than we think.
Yeah, I just want to apologize, everyone. Sorry if I seem distracted looking around. I was trying to pay attention. My computer is telling me I need to force quit a lot of my windows because it keeps glitching and shutting down. So I was afraid my computer's to shut down. So I was looking around a lot. Sorry if I seemed distracted. That's what I was doing. Anyways, I completely agree with you, Luke. Looking at the Buffalo side of the football, I mean, Curtis Samuel gets a small upgrade because we saw him do fantasy relevant things in Washington. James Cook is going to be more targets available. I still really want to shout out Dalton Cade, though. I mean, I just tweeted a few days ago, by Dalton Kincaid, I think this dude has tight end one overall upside. Really, even with Stephon Diggs there, I think he has tight end one overall upside. The athleticism is there. The production was there last year in times where Dawson Knox is out. He was able to shine as a rookie tight end. And I was stepping into his second season, an elite offense with Josh Allen. The ceiling is tight end one overall. And I got hammered for it. I got crushed. People were like, sell Dalton Kincaid to anyone who might think this is a realistic outcome. And now looking at it, it might look like a good take because window is kind of shut.
I feel like the tight end one overall before Diggs is a bit spicy, but I saw the vision. I see the vision with Diggs gone and with them not having a real legit wide receiver one. The path is clear here.
Oh, it's so clear.
I really hope it happens.
Yeah, I mean, depending on who comes in, I mean, even if it's a Brandon Ayuk or a T. Higgins, he's still the 1B of this offense. Like, no matter what way you look at it, unless they like trade for T. Higgins and Brandon Ayuk and then like draft somebody, no matter what way you look at it, at worst, he's going to be the number 2 option in this offense.
No,
at
I agree.
Worst. For at sure. Tight end, that's a dream. That's a dream at tight end. Are you kidding? Yeah. Like a fantasy world of tight ends? That is a dream. So Now we're looking at a huge, huge opportunity for Dalton Kincaid. And look at the Houston side. I agree with you. The receivers there are going to be very inconsistent. It's going to be all over the place. All of them will be good for fantasy. It's just going to be a problem. But I love this for CJ Stroud. One wasn't mentioned, but CJ Stroud, the Texans are probably going to pass the ball a ton more now because looking at their running back room, it's very shaky in terms of their depth. They have Mixon, they have Pierce, but otherwise it's like nothing. So I feel like they're going to be leaning a lot on their passing game with those three wide receivers. And I wouldn't be surprised if we saw the Texans throw for 45 plus attempts a game. And that would mean Stroud is going for at least 4,500 yards, at least 40 touchdowns, possibly even more than those two numbers. It's going to be an insane season for Stroud. And Mixon, too, with the threat of this passing game, the run lanes are going to open up, man. They're just going to open up a lot, and that's going to provide a lot of fantasy value for him. And to the question with Jacob, do we think Stephon Diggs bounces back? You know, that's really something you got to plant your flag on. Honestly, I still think he's talented. I still think he's a very talented player. I just think Buffalo was trying to use their offense without him because I went back and watched the game film, watched what he was doing. He looked fine to me. Running routes, he looked fine. He looked good.
Yeah, Diggs, I really hate the narrative that Stephon Diggs fell off a cliff last year.
We're not going to
ignore that they changed offensive coordinators about halfway through the season, and when that happened, it's when the projection fell off. The play calling changed, guys. The play calling changed, and I think that's the reason we can point to for Stephon Diggs slowing down. I think he's still playing 100%. Talented, like you said, Hutch. And let's say even for some reason he is not as talented, he's going to be playing with much better wide receivers than he was in Buffalo, and he's going to have a really easy time in Houston. He can get away with, you know, not being on 100% of the time in Houston and still having a massive year of production.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And we have one more question here from Mo, or not a question, a statement from Mo. Hear me out. The Bills traded away Stephon Diggs for the second round pick, but they're going to trade for T. Higgins with a first. I would like that. I think that'd be great. I think
it would be awesome.
The only question is, will the Bengals trade away one of their prime weapons to a conference rival who they might meet in the playoffs? I don't know.
It really, like, here's the thing. Everything with Higgins, you know, with the they haven't been able to extend them. They haven't been able to pay him that money that they wanted to. But everything that they've ever said has said that we really want T. Higgins on this team. Like, everything that has ever been said by Cincinnati, it's been no questions asked. T. Higgins is a Cincinnati Bengal. We want him on this team. I think they're just trying to figure out the cap space for next year. I think they're going to extend next year. I'm confident in that T. Higgins is going to be a Bengal. And also, when you look at Buffalo, too, I don't think they have the money to extend Higgins or Ayuk the way they want to. I mean, right now, looking at cap space, they're one of the worst teams in the NFL. I mean, they're around like $0 million in cap space. They have basically none. And then looking at the dead cap that Stephon Diggs provides with $30 million, I mean, they could convert that. They could fix that up. And they could, you know, restructure Josh Allen if they wanted to, you know, try to figure that out, create some cap space. But no matter which way you look at it, the cap space situation for the Bills is going to prove to be extremely difficult to extend a big-name wide receiver like Ayuk or Higgins. So I think they go the route of the draft. I think it's possible to trade for one of these two guys, but I would suggest they go the route of the draft and get a guy on a cheaper contract.
Yeah, definitely makes sense to me. But speaking of draft, let's transition over here to the running back section of things.
Yeah, running backs.
We'll be working our way through Hutch's top five and breaking down these prospects one by one. And while we talk about the prospects, I will also be telling you where they are in my top five. So Hutch, why don't you kick things off here with your RB1 of this draft class?
So here's the thing, guys. My rankings are very, very dependent. I mean, me and Luke were talking right before pre-recording. We were talking, my rankings and as well as his are so dependent on draft capital and landing spots. So with my rankings,
it is tight this year.
It is so tight, man. Like these guys, like they're all like okay or good, not just not great. And it's just a weird tier where they all could go day two, they all could go day three, and that's gonna change a lot. So with my rankings, I try to think, okay, I'm thinking they all have a chance to go day two, around an equal chance. They all have a chance, right? Let's say they all go day two. How do I rank them? That's kind of how I imagine this, where it's like, they all go day two. How do I rank these guys? And that's what I'm thinking here. So my RB1 of this class, if I'm assuming if he goes day two, I think Braylon Allen is the most talented running back in this class. I think I might be falling for a trap here. I think a lot of people are going to call me crazy for this one. I've tweeted it out on Twitter about my Braylon Allen hype and people have hated me for it, but I really like this kid. I think he's a fantastic player. So when you look at the numbers, right, it's interesting though, because when you watch his film, right, he just dominates, man. He's like 6'2", 245 pounds. He's a bruiser of a back.
Yeah, he's listed at 6'1", 235.
6'1", oh, 6'1", 230, oh, 235. That's right. He weighed
in. I mean, that's massive, dude. That's massive.
Yeah, he weighed in 235 at the combine. I forgot about that because before he was talking about 245, but 235. Anyways, he's massive, just a massive guy. He will truck through anybody. He asks for contact. He goes straight through people, and he's just a Derrick Henry-like when it comes to his physical nature. He's just so brutal to opposing defenses. And the thing is, that doesn't show up in the numbers. It shows up on film so well. But when you look at PFFs, like, you know, look at some PFF statistics here, he was not top 10 in yards after contact per attempt. And this is among the 2024 class. He was not top 10 in 10 plus yard runs, not top 10 in run grade. All of those stats, he was not top 10. When you think about the player that he is, you think in those stats, he might be up there in yards after contact, in missed tackles force, all these numbers. He just wasn't top 10. He wasn't up there. But when you watch the film, this dude's just crazy. This dude is absolutely insane. And I think a reason, when you look at yards after contact, why it's so low, I think a reason for that is because of the offensive line. He didn't have one offensive lineman rank in the top 120 of PFF's run blocking grade. Like, his offensive line was just not fun for him this year. He had to battle, and you could see it on the film too. He had to battle a lot for every yard he can get. So when I look at Braylon Allen overall, I'm scrambling a lot. I love the film. He shows off to be super, super talented. He's so physical. And while he isn't crazy fast, he is aggressive and explosive at the line of scrimmage. And all he needs is a few steps. And once he gets that momentum, you're not stopping him. You're just not. Once he reaches the second level, once he gets that space, you're not stopping him. You can't tackle him once he reaches full momentum. It's kind of like Derrick Henry, in a sense where once he reaches those few steps and gets full momentum, You're not tackling him. It's over.
Yeah, I think Braylon Allen is super landing spot dependent. As you mentioned, like the talent is there.
Very much.
The thing I like about Braylon Allen a lot is his age. I think it's super, super
20 years old. Yeah.
To have a running back that's 20. It's pretty insane. Like he could get to his second contract and be 24 years old, which is unbelievable. So, you know, some of the younger running backs in the NFL are around that age. So that's really valuable. And that's the reason he's in this top five for me. He's my running back 4. I have him in like right in this tier 2. For me in this top 5, it's like tier 1 for my running back 1, which we'll talk about later. And then tier 2, which is running backs 2 through 5. Like, I think he's going to be about a third round draft pick. I think he has a lot of potential, but I will say, Hutch, I don't know if you'll agree with this. I think he has one of the lower floors of the prospects in this class.
Oh, no, so fair. He could be AJ Dillon so fast. He could absolutely, he could turn into AJ Dillon so fast. You're 100% right.
Yeah, I think he has a pretty low floor in terms of like, he's not going to offer a lot for you in the passing game, which I don't love. I think that like, if you're getting Braylon Allen in fantasy, you're going to want him to be a first or second down back. You're going to want, I mean, Dameon Pierce is kind of gross now. You're going to want Braylon Allen to be like rookie year Dameon Pierce, like good outcome, right? That's what you're going to kind of want from him in terms of production or workload for a team. I don't know if you're going to get that. I don't know if you're going to get that, and that's okay. But the thing that's so promising about him, like we mentioned, is the age. I think there's room for him to continue to get better and keep developing, where a lot of these prospects coming out of college don't have the bandwidth to do that, you know, the ability to do that still with their age and the experience they have. I think there's still room to go up for Braylon, but I still have him at 4. Yeah.
I really want to see him in Dallas. Good offensive line that's going to give him
It'd
space.
Be great.
Lead offense. Let him cook with the workhorse role. And you say he can't pass. You say he wasn't too much in the passing game. He didn't get the opportunity in Wisconsin, but when he was given the opportunity, I thought he looked pretty good. It's really solid hands. He's really slow to do damage after the catch. But when he catches the ball, he looks really solid. He has good hands. So I think for dump offs and potential, like, you know, screen passes, he could do it really well. But
that's fine. Again, you know, I don't really hate low college opportunity as long as the skill set's there. I just don't really necessarily think the skill set, they're not going to deploy him as a pass catching back, is what I mean.
No, he's not a pass catching back. No, he's not.
And that's why I don't have him.
He's a grinder.
That high. You know what I'm saying? I like Allen. He's my RB4, like I mentioned. I think he's going to be good. Landing spot's super important. I definitely could get on the Braylon Allen train if he gets in a good landing spot. All five of my running backs in this top five, I like. I like all five of these dudes. There's a lot of names in this class that we can have in a top five. You know what I mean? I cut off names of guys I like in this class who I don't have in my top five. But he's my RB4. Who's your RB2?
Sorry, we've spent a lot of time on Braylon Allen. I went on a bit of a rant. My bad. I'm looking at Jalen Wright as my RB2 out of Tennessee, 5'10", 210 pounds. He ran a 4.38 40. Whenever you see a running back that's like 210, 215, around that size, can run a sub 4.440, I mean, that running back is just going to work. That is a supreme athlete that can carry a significant workload. And this guy also unlocked his path to catching ability last year. 22 receptions in 2023, showed a great ability there, not just with hands, but also after the catch. This dude is dominant there. And you look at the stat sheets, man, 7th among the class in 10-plus yard runs and 2nd in yards after contact per attempt. I mean, this dude just sheds off tackles, sheds through defenders. He's so quick on his feet. I really like what we can see from Jalen Wright. He's so explosive. And I think that, I don't mean 210 pounds, he can take a really heavy role in the NFL, but he is landing spot dependent as well. I would like, you know, I think the Chargers could be really interesting. You know, put him next to like a bruiser kind of back and Gus Bus. Let Gus Bus get some of those that grind out work and give Jalen Wright those explosive touches in the passing game and let those two cook in the Chargers offense with Jim Harbaugh. I think that would be really interesting. But Wright is someone that I really like, and I would put him up at 2.
He's my running back 3. I really like this ranking. I think it's totally valid. Wright is super talented. I really like him a lot. For me, Brooks and Wright are a coin flip as my running back 2, running back 3. I like these guys a lot. As I mentioned, 2 through 5 for me are like all in the same tier. I like Wright just behind Brooks because I feel like Brooks has a bit of a higher ceiling, just a touch, just a skosh. But okay. I understand having Wright over Brooks, especially due to health concerns too, if you want to put Brooks down a little bit because the ACL.
The ACL tear is so concerning.
I personally don't mind it much. I feel like ACL tears are not a death sentence anymore. I feel like
it's just
a slower start to his career. But ultimately, I think long-term, the health and everything will be there for Brooks. Brooks is my RB2. I know we're not talking about him right now. But Wright is my RB3 just behind Brooks. But, like, they literally are neck and neck. You know what I mean? Like, they could flip-flop tomorrow if I wake up on the wrong side of the bed or the right side of the bed. You know what I mean? I love Wright's skill set. I think that he's super explosive, super fun. Same with Brooks. I mean, these guys are decently similar players in terms of, like, the mold of, you know, like a running back archetype, right? Explosive, fast, agile. Very fun players to watch. I think Wright could definitely do some damage. I think he has one of the higher ceilings in this class. I think that he could be a fantasy football star long-term if he goes to the right place where he has a heavy workload. I like him a lot. Who's your RB3? Yeah, absolutely.
My RB3 of this class, you know, looking at these guys, I'm looking at Brooks. I mean, I was talking about Jonathan Brooks earlier. You were talking about Jonathan Brooks for a second.
You
I think Jonathan Brooks
not mentioned my RB1 yet. What's going on here?
I know. He's a little lower for me. I'm a little...
Keep going.
But Brooks, I mean, you kind of mentioned everything about Brooks, a little bit more upside, but he's honestly a very similar player to Jalen Wright, where, you know, he's around that 210, 215 frame. He can run really fast and he can take that bigger role. He can pass catch. I mean, him and Wright are very similar players to me when you look at both of them together. But I do agree Brooks has a tiny bit more upside. I just see a little bit more of a bigger time role for him potentially in the NFL, but they're very similar to me. I really don't have much more to say. They're very similar.
And like I said, I don't mind at all the little coin flip there between – yo, Ethan, what's up? Somebody in the chat just said hi for those listening on audio. I think you putting Brooks below Wright due to health is totally valid. Totally valid. I might do that myself after we get off the show. I'm not kidding. Like, it makes perfect sense. Brooks, they're very similar players.
I think – for this ranking, I was just doing off talent. Brooks would be a bit lower if we were considering his ACL too. If we were considering his ACL, he might drop out of the top five.
Still valid. Hey, listen, still valid.
Because the ACL, man, the thing is, it does provide a slow start to his career potentially, but it also really could hurt his draft capital. It could send him to day three. It gives him a lot higher likelihood to get sent to day three. And once you're at day three, you're in trouble, man. For a running back, you're just in trouble at that point. And with an ACL tear, it's a little concerning. But anyways, so
moving down the list here, RB4 for you. There's two names I have left I feel like definitely should be in the top five. Who do you got?
Yes, I got Trey Benson here. He is
my RB1, sir.
Yes, I understand that. We were talking pre-show. He's your RB1. And it's very fair. I mean, he's very fair. He's under 22 years old. He ran a 4.39 40. And, you know, he's a bigger back. He can work. He can take that workhorse role. He can pass catch pretty well. The only thing about him for me that really, really concerns me and what concerns me in the NFL too, he is quite an on-off runner. Like he has those big explosive runs that he can really, really hit. And also he just gets stuffed so often. When you look at his stuff percentages, when you look at those percentages of loss of yardage, they're quite high. Like he's a very boom bust kind of running back. And that kind of concerns me for his NFL value, because if he gets on some runs early where he's losing some yards, getting stuffed, it could really hurt him for his potential career moving forward. So I like Benson, but that concerns me. If he were to continue to be that on and off, that explosive and that inconsistent, it could really hurt his NFL career. So that's something I'm pretty worried about with Benson.
I like the explosiveness. I feel like also with that stuff percentage, I'm going to attribute a lot of that to offensive line play as well.
Very fair. Yeah, the offensive line.
At the NFL level, a lot of these times that these runs get blown up behind the line of scrimmage, I feel like a lot of the times that's on the offensive line. Sure, you know, maybe there's some vision concerns there. I'll hope that the NFL offensive coaches can kind of coach that out of him. You know what I mean? But I like Benson a lot. I think he does everything well. Super explosive, you know, bigger guy. He can get the job done, as you mentioned. Really nice 40-yard dash time. I think if I had to pick right now, he's going to get the running back who has the most draft capital as well, which goes into the ranking. Totally. I think that he definitely could be a second-round pick. I really want him in Dallas. Shout out to my boy Jay Tuck, Cowboys creator. He is all over the Trey Benson to Dallas train. He has been for a really long time. The team showed some signs of interest in him. I think he'd be a fantastic fit there. I would really love to see him in Dallas. I think he has the highest ceiling in this class for fantasy value, in my opinion. He does everything well. He does everything at a high level. I think he's going to get the highest draft capital. I mean, that's a recipe for success, man. That's what you're looking for. So I understand what you have before, but he's my one. Who's your five?
Sorry, one last thing for Benson. He also has a very serious injury history. Like, dude, in his freshman, you know, his freshman, sophomore year, he tore up his knee and hamstring, like, at an unbelievable level. So many different tears and injuries. So, I mean, he came back from it. And he looked great, but it's something to keep an eye on because there's just so much history there with his injuries. So just keep an eye there. And my number five, Blake Corum. You know, Corum, to me,
we agree.
Corum, yes. We agree finally here. When I watched him, it was like, I don't know. Like, I was honestly, I thought he was boring. I'm not going to lie. I thought he was kind of boring. He did everything really good. He did everything really good. He can do everything good. He is a solid explosive runner. He gets physical when he needs to. He can catch passes. And he scored a freaking ton of rushing touchdowns. Our last 2 years, I believe he scored 27 and 18 rushing touchdowns in Michigan's offense. I mean, he's just been a monster for them on offense. But in terms of the red zone and scoring touchdowns. But overall, watching him run, I'm just kind of like, he's good at everything. He's good. But there's no X factor to me with Blake Corum, honestly.
Well, you know why he's number five for me, Hutch? This is me tipping my proverbial cap to Blake Corum, because this man was a production monster in college.
So
I know what he's capable of. Like you mentioned, he can do everything well. I know he's a little older. I think that this guy is going to be a good pro, if that makes sense. I think he's going to be a guy who goes in there. He's going to work hard. He's going to be able to get on the field, right? He has the skill set to get on the field. He can do everything. He could be a bell cow if you need to be a bell cow. He can be a change of pace back if you need him to be a change of pace back. I think Blake Corum could have a very successful NFL career. That's why he's number five for me. I feel like he has the highest floor of any running back in this class. I don't think the ceiling is that high. I think the ceiling is there as a three down back in the NFL. If I woke up from a coma tomorrow and you told me he was a top 15 fantasy running back next season, I'd be like, okay, that makes sense. Sure. Blake Corum, superstar in college. He could do that in the NFL. Sure. I believe you, right? The ceiling is there. But I feel like he has the highest floor of any running back prospect in this class. And I think the NFL teams are going to respect that. I think the NFL teams are going to recognize the value in the production he had in college, the pedigree of the player, the prospect, the talent. I think people are going to like that. I think he's going to get decent draft capital. And if he lands in a situation where he can get a heavy workload, I'm on board the Blake Corum train. Who do you want to shout out here outside of your top five that you think can make some noise and do some damage here?
So this is a deep, deep sleeper for me. I'm actually writing an article right now for Football Guys on this player spotlight. So go to the Football Guys site, check that out whenever it drops. It should be out hopefully within the next week if I, you know, get it all done in time, get it all edited in time. But I'm looking at Kendall Milton, running back out of Georgia. I think this dude is a really interesting prospect. Right now he's projected to go late day three, but I think he has a really interesting profile right now. In his first 3 years of his career, he kind of struggled with injuries, just never really got the full workhorse role, had a couple of the backs in front of him. But this past year, he finally got a more featured role with about 112 carries, you know, in all those regular season games. He put up 686 yards, scored 12 touchdowns. Throughout his entire college career, he had been hyper-efficient, but especially in this past year, you know, just about 5.5 yards per carry. And while the yardage and opportunity wasn't really there, and those stats don't really pop out, he's shining a lot of other ways. When you look deeper in the analytics, when you look into his testing, his 10-yard split was among the 96th percentile of this class. His broad jump in the 85th percentile of this class.
Quite high.
What's that?
That's quite high.
Yeah, quite high. I mean, this dude, in those two stats, show you that he's extremely explosive. You can see that on the film, too. He bursts off the line of scrimmage, like absolutely explodes. Like, this guy can go 0-60 like that. I just want to say it. Just in case you don't know this player. He's 6'2", 225. Big boy. And he can move, dude. He is so fast. He can go 0-60, make it to that second level so fast. He was 15th this past year in 10-plus yard rushes while he was 43rd in actual attempts, showing that he's crazy explosive, getting those 10-plus, those chunk plays all the time. And that rate, you know, of about 22% of a 10-plus yard run for his carries, that was higher rate than Breece Hall, Kenneth Walker, Bijan Robinson, and Jahmyr Gibbs in their final college seasons. A higher 10-plus yard run rate than all of them. And he's so explosive and so physical as well. He can break through contact, break tackles. He always fights for those extra yards, always finds a way to fall forward. And one last thing I'll say, the long speed is not really there as much. He ran a 4.62 40-yard dash, and you can see it on film. He'll get chased down by safeties. But he can take chunks out of your defense. So if this guy goes in the 6th, 7th round, gets an opportunity to shine, gets some, maybe some injuries in front of him, maybe something happens where he gets an actual opportunity, just watch out. If you got your rookie draft right now, take in the 3rd, 4th round, just see what he does, because I think he's a really intriguing prospect.
Could be a training camp darling for sure. My pick is nowhere near as deep, and it's pretty chalky. I just have to give him a shout. He's on my top five, but Marshawn Lloyd, USC.
Yeah, great.
Ton of fun. So much juice, so much fun on film. The flashes are flashy. I love that. I think this guy has a lot of ceiling. Again, the floor is a little iffy. Landing spot dependent. I don't really see this guy landing immediately and getting a huge workload, right? But I think, Hutch, let me see if you agree here. I think he could be a guy who goes in there, maybe has a bit of a change of pace, Tony Pollard-ish career path to start things off. And then long-term could develop into a starter, a guy who has a lot of, you know, electricity, a lot of lightning in a bottle to him. I think that we could see that from Mr. Lloyd. And I feel like I have to give that a shout because I feel like the ceiling is important in the mid to late rounds of your rookie drafts. And I think Lloyd's a guy who you might get a nice little upside play here for. You might be a nice little home run swing in your rookie drafts later.
Yeah, totally. I mean, the thing is, though, he's pretty big. Like, this dude, I mean, he's shorter. But he's big. Like, he's thick. He's 5'9", about 210
pounds. He has the size. He has the
big,
size.
Man, he got that size. He's physical. And I agree. When I watched him on film, and he was one of the ones who was like, oh, shoot, this dude can ball. Like, he can really ball. So it was exciting. I agree with you. He was one of the more exciting players to watch on film. I would totally agree with you.
Yeah, I think he's really fun. I had to give him a shout because he was 100%. Really close to me between Corum and him. But I feel like, again, like I said earlier, I had to tip the cap to Corum. I feel like the production is worth noting here. But again, Lloyd is no slouch, man. I think he definitely has a chance to have a really, really solid NFL career if the stars align for him. And I just had to, you know, give him a shout, as I mentioned. But plenty of other running backs here who are super interesting. Again, the tiers are so, so tight in this class. I've never seen so many rankings all over the place with this running back class. They're all different. If you look at rankings from every major publication, every analyst, they're so different all over the place. But I mean, just look at us, right? I mean, our four of our top five guys, they're all the same players, but they're in a completely different order, completely shuffled up.
Different order, yep.
So, you know, I mean, my RB1 is his RB4. You know what I mean? Like, that's the way this class is. It's going to be extremely depending spot dependent. So take these initial rankings with a, you know, grain of salt. But I think long-term, once the draft rolls around, we get the landing spots, training camp's going to be huge for this class. Very interesting group. A lot of upside here, but also could be a class full of guys who are iffy backup fantasy flex plays. You know, we'll see how it goes. I'm very interested to see how this pans out in the long run.
Yeah, and just one last reminder, this draft capital is seriously going to change everything. The difference between a day two running back and a day three running back, when you look at hit rates for real life NFL and for fantasy football, huge. Are so unbelievably dramatic. The hit rates are just so different. And so just pay attention if this guy's going day two or if this guy's going day three, because that will change everything.
It's also going to really change the draft capital in your rookie drafts as well. I mean, the ADPs are really going to be dependent on team name, you know, that team name brand value and where they're drafted in the NFL draft. You know what I mean? I think Kadarius Toney is a great example of this. When he was drafted in the first round by the Giants, everyone was like, huh? What do we do? So Clyde Edwards-Helaire with the Chiefs. Huh? What do we do? You know what I mean? So be on the lookout for those kind of things this year. These guys are not going to sneak in round one unless, you know, some earth-shattering occurrence happens. But ADP is going to play a lot of a factor based on the real-life landing spots. So stay tuned on that. We'll keep you guys covered. Next week, we're back with another prospect breakdown episode. We're hitting the wide receivers. This class is juicy, and I'm very, very excited to dive into all the details here with Hutch. But appreciate everybody listening out there, watching live, tuning in. 179 live viewers over here on X right now live. Appreciate everyone for checking us out. Another huge show. Absolutely. Appreciate you as always, Hutch. Appreciate everyone listening. Hutch, say goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. See y'all next week.